just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
We love a good theater outing.
Especially if you get to go see Cats.
Ew. Why would you put that evil on us on this Christmas season?
Memory.
Oh, please stop.
Okay. No more of that.
Not that kind of theater experience. and I am putting my foot down. I am not seeing Cats in theaters.
You're refusing?
Regardless of how excited you might be.
Right.
I'm not doing it.
We are not.
No.
No.
No, I'm talking live theater experience. We love a good live show.
Right.
We go as often as we can, which isn't as often as we would like, but we go pretty often.
We've seen quite a few.
Yeah.
And 9 to 5, I don't know how many times.
I love a good 9 to 5.
It's true.
I love a good Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Oh, that was good. I've only seen that one time.
I love a musical.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, we've seen a couple times.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, so we are what we would call connoisseurs of the theater.
Sure, we'll say that.
No, we're just opinionated theater goers. That's all we are. And, you know, not every theater show, not every musical is a slam dunk. You know, not every show works out great.
Yeah.
That's
just rarely.
That's probably
about a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've liked shows that people in general haven't liked, so you know, it's a matter of taste, I guess.
Yeah, but you've seen a couple at a really incredible outdoor theater.
I have. In Utah there is an outdoor theater called Tuacon, which is a huge outdoor amphitheater type situation.
Yeah.
And in most cases that would mean that your audio is terrible, the lighting's bad, you're sitting on an uncomfortable blanket-covered hill kind of situation. But Tuacon is a very high-end kind of experience where they have full-on seating and sound systems and lighting and special effects. And it's drawn the attention of Disney a couple times.
Which I find absolutely crazy.
Do you find that crazy?
Well, just because the shows that you've seen there,
uh-huh,
they were the official out-of-town tryouts, right?
They were. Well, one officially was the out-of-town tryout, yes. When I saw Aladdin, it was the official out-of-town tryout for the Broadway show.
Uh-huh.
They were still
Normally they take it to Boston, right?
I think normally they do take it to a more theater-heavy place, for sure.
Not St. George, Utah?
I mean, to be fair, Utah probably has more performers per capita than any other state in other than New York and Los Angeles, maybe.
Seriously. I think it's literally like 7 out of 6.
Yeah, I think everybody in Utah plays an instrument, sings the songs, or knows how to dance some sort of dance.
It's completely true. And 7 out of 6, by the way, would be more than 100%.
Yeah. Okay. You know, your math jokes just don't work for me.
Everybody in Utah plus the dog are all part of the theater.
Well, yeah, there probably have been a couple pets in productions of things, right?
I know.
Annie always needs a good dog in it. So,
yeah, it's not even enough that your family is all at the theater.
Right. Everyone has to be.
Your theater, your pets.
Sometimes your house or your plants.
Truly. Yeah.
But I did go see Aladdin there before it was officially moved to New York.
So it would have been put on by the Disney company then.
Yes.
That and it is had, phenomenal.
Had legit New York actors in it.
Wow.
And they were definitely, they were kind of throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing what stuck, I felt like.
Yeah.
I've not seen Well, I've not seen the actual Broadway production, obviously. But they, when you turn a Disney movie specifically into a musical, you kind of have to stretch things a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's
rework
not,
things.
It's not quite the same medium, so you need to make things work in a theater situation.
Usually add a couple ballads that didn't exist before.
Right. Add a couple slow songs, throw in a few new characters,
yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Because really, when you think about Aladdin, the movie is basically carried by Aladdin, Jasmine, and Genie, and Jafar.
Right.
So that's four people to carry the entire show, and no one else really does much.
Yeah.
As far as the whole show is concerned.
I mean, Iago a little bit, but...
A little bit, and, you know, you got a carpet every now and then. But they chose to kind of stretch it to add, like, Aladdin had, like, a gang of friends. Like, he had multiple other friends that were also...
He didn't know that he was part of a gang.
Yeah, apparently.
How about that?
And I don't know that this carried over to Broadway. This is what I remember from seeing the show a few years ago.
Huh.
And also with the fun thing about Tuacon is that they're always trying unique things to make the shows very different. So Aladdin had a 3D aspect where you actually had 3D glasses.
Oh, really?
And when he went into the Cave of Wonders, I believe you put on your 3D glasses and they had like a 3D aspect of that section. If I remember correctly.
Well, isn't that something? Because it's already 3D because it's a live show.
Right. But they have, you know, the big screens and things.
And things are coming out at your face.
Yeah, and right at your face.
Huh.
And I don't remember if I tend to be kind of cynical about kitschy, random things like that because I don't think that it's always necessary.
Yeah.
So I'm sure my reaction to that was more along the lines of, really?
Mm-hmm.
And is this necessary?
Were they disposable 3D glasses, if you can remember, or do you think you had to give them back at the end of the show like you do on all your Disney rides?
No, yeah. I'm pretty sure they were paper, like the paper kind. So they were souvenirs.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would do that for all Disney rides. That'd be kind of awesome.
I think they should. Mm-hmm. I get tired of trying to pick up 3D glasses everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And
I 100%.
You have no idea who else has had their face around those. So sometimes it's kind of like, if you think too much about it, you get a little skeezed.
Yeah, I tried a couple of times, right, that we went to 3D movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kept the glasses afterwards and took those to Disney to see if they'd work. And completely not at all the same.
Right.
Nope, 100% different.
Not even close.
But even at Disney, they're not even the same from ride to ride.
No.
They change quite a bit. So yeah. I can only imagine what it'd be like if you tried to take one of those to a 3D live theater show in Tuacon, you know.
Well, and I had a couple issues with the show. First of all, as an outdoor theater in St. George, Utah, you are stuck in the elements. And it's not often rain, it's mostly heat.
Yeah, it gets so hot.
And when you have a packed theater, even when it's open air like that, it gets really hot.
Yeah, because honestly, it's only like a 90-minute drive to Las Vegas from there.
Right, and so you're in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I, being who I am, thought, I'm for sure going to get cold, so I wore a sweater.
In the middle of summer?
I wore a sweater to see Aladdin in a desert. It was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I was very hot. And if I'm hot, everyone else must have just been dying.
Oh, I've died the one time I went to a show there. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. But I just wore a vest. It was quite literally just like Aladdin, you know?
Oh, bare-chested and no pants? Like, what is this ensemble that you're describing here?
No, I'm just kidding. I had a shirt on, too.
Oh, okay. Did you wear a fez on?
A fez. A boo was running around grabbing everything for me. It was fantastic.
But a lot of times Disney does these type of things, and theater companies in general do these type of things to see what works and what doesn't. So when you go into a show like this, you know that you're getting a work in progress is kind of what you're getting. You're getting them trying songs out, moving scenes around, adding, subtracting characters.
Yeah.
Like, it's a living moment that you're going to sit down and watch. And a lot of people specifically find that very exciting to
yeah.
see.
completely, especially if they gave me a survey afterwards and wanted me to give my opinions and stuff. Oh, I'd love it.
We'd be there for hours if you wrote out your opinions.
Yeah, our whole drive home after a theater show, we talk about all kinds of...
We do.
Everybody does, right? It.
Yeah.
I think everybody does that. It's the fun of doing it.
So overall, like if you were lucky enough to see Aladdin in the Hyperion at California Adventure, I feel like that more succinctly gave you the whole vibe of Aladdin.
Yeah.
Than a full on Broadway musical version.
Oh, I see.
It felt a little
bit... So you liked the Hyperion 45-minute show better than you liked the... Broadway track.
I think I did, because it didn't feel quite as pretentious. They didn't try to force as much emotion into it. Whereas in a Broadway show, they try to stretch the story.
They do.
To justify it. And so sometimes things get a little sticky and the characters get a little bit more muddy and everything just feels truncated and too much. You know what I mean?
Stretched a little bit. I can say I was not a fan of the Gilded Cage, Bird in a Gilded Cage song, whatever.
Right.
Not for me, y'all.
I don't think she sings that one in the Broadway version, but...
Now, tell me the story about you. Did you see camels off the side of the stage during that show?
Not just off the side of the stage, but on the stage, yes. The great thing about Tuacon is that they have a big, giant, open field, basically, that they can just... drive things onto set and offset, and they had real live camels. And so before the show started, I was, you know, walking around as I do, and there were just like three camels just standing by a bush. And I was like,
and did they just walk those through the show?
Yeah,
at some point
like
in
a
time?
Couple times they would have, like, I believe live during camels. Like Prince Ali, they had the camels walking around, and like in the beginning, they had the camel walking around.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I love a good a stunt like that. I enjoy versus the 3D thing, which I feel like is just a stunt for the stunt's sake.
Yeah, you know we went to go see Shania Twain when she had her. Show at the Coliseum, and she also had two horses on stage.
Ooh.
Like originally it was black, and then at the end it comes out and it's a white horse or something like that.
Oh.
Something along those lines.
It's a horse of a different color.
Right. It was totally a horse of a different color, and she got him to dance with her and stuff.
Oh.
It was pretty fun, but it was just one horse.
The camels were not dancing.
No dancing camels.
I'm pretty sure they were just avoiding spit the whole time.
You know, I was waiting for that spit. Yeah.
Watch out for the camels. They spit.
Yep.
But I also saw The Little Mermaid there, and this was a more interesting experience for me.
Okay, tell us. Yeah.
Mostly because Little Mermaid was already on Broadway when they did this version.
Okay.
So they took the Little Mermaid Broadway version and adapted it back to Tuacon.
Huh.
And the difference is that Tuacon is huge.
Yeah.
It's massive, and so you have to... you have to stretch the visual
right
to fit the stage, basically, right?
Yeah, it's a big enough stage that we've seen cars drive onto stage and they have to like loop around the stage a couple of times,
right? Yeah. So fill the space. And so for The Little Mermaid, one thing that Tuacon is very famous for is their water. Every show, pretty much every show that I've seen there has used the water in some way, shape or form, because they can flood their stage.
Oh.
They have a river that basically runs across the stage.
Dang.
At Tuacon. So, I was excited to see what they would do with The Little Mermaid.
And I've often said that if you want to make a Utah happy, show them water, because never saw
you don't
water.
See it. Yeah. and so they did, they had a water screen that basically was a shower that went all the way across the stage.
That's crazy.
And they would project on it.
Huh.
So like when the Little Mermaid is saving Prince Eric, spoiler alert, after he falls in the water during the storm, they had the actual actors on wires behind the water screen, and then they were animating bubbles and stuff around them as they were swimming back up. Yeah, it was very impressive. And then they...
Dang, I hope somebody put this on YouTube.
That's a good question. I wonder if they would have. I don't think you're technically allowed to, but I would think that somebody would have, right?
I would think.
And they did the really cool thing with Ursula, where... do you remember the Little Mermaid show at the Hollywood Studios?
Mm-hmm.
Where they have...
I sure do. The smelly theater.
The smelly theater. And Ursula's really big, right, in that show. So
rude.
Ursula's just big in general. But for Tuacon, you have to make her read as this over-the-top character. So they literally put the actress on, like, one of those motorized scooters.
Oh, okay.
But vertical. She was standing on the motorized scooter.
Okay.
And then the tentacles...
Like a jazzy?
Yeah, like a jazzy.
Okay.
And the tentacles were attached to the wheels, so when she moved forward, the tentacles looked like she was walking.
Oh, hey.
I was like, good for you, Tuacon. That is so clever. And then they also did the blacklight section with Louie, and they did that whole section in Tuacon also.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
What did the rest of the jazzy look like? Was it covered up a bit?
Yeah, it was all covered up. Like...
And somebody else was controlling it, maybe?
I think there probably had to be two people, because I can't imagine an actress standing on there is able to do everything with her feet.
That would totally make sense.
Yeah.
So there's somebody underneath her driving it around.
Yeah.
Two She's people
like
to make
Ursula.
She's
like a parade float.
And this is what they need at the end of Fantasmic, I think.
Ursula? A parade float?
No, Ursula. Their flippers out.
Oh yeah, we talked about that in Florida. That they definitely need it.
That is very interesting, and I find that interesting. Now, did you like that show? Because I've seen Little Mermaid like 5 times now in little productions here and there.
Yeah,
and I've hated every single one of them.
Little Mermaid is one of those shows that, if it's not handled seriously, becomes very stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the concept can be very stupid, and the over-the-top performances of, like, Sebastian and the music and all that kind of stuff, if it's not handled maturely, turns into a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you just have children playing everything, it turns into, like, a weird child pageant type of thing where there's just kids everywhere.
Which is fun for them. It's fun for the kids on stage.
Sure. But you can't have them run the whole show. You know what I mean?
I don't have a kid in the performance, so...
We don't like the parts where the kids are featured, because they're not ours. No, I think it's just the material.
You know, if I had 22 kids, I'd be putting Little Mermaid on, like, on a weekly basis, though.
Oh, thank goodness we don't have 22 kids. No, it's one of those shows that if you don't take it seriously, it turns into just a mess, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
case in point, I saw The Lion King.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen a production of The Lion King?
No, but I've seen lots of clips of the Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that. That's pretty cool. And we've seen some of the live things at the parks.
Right.
Yeah.
The Broadway version takes it very seriously.
Right.
They did their research. Their costumes are incredible. Their singers are all on point. Obviously, it's a Broadway show. But I saw it in Los Angeles as a touring company. And you go in thinking, I've seen the cartoon enough times that, mm-hmm. you know, this will be potentially just kind of boring.
Yeah.
But their visuals and the professionalism that they approach the whole show with really make up for the fact that you've probably already heard the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and they're telling a completely different storyline of it, I think, maybe not. Just because the characters are so over the top and the giraffes take up the entire theater and stuff, you know?
Right. The medium is very different.
I guess that's what, because otherwise the story is exactly the same.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But there is something to be said about them not going like the glossy Disney way with it. Mm-hmm. Like, there aren't mascot style costumes of these characters walking around.
Oh, right.
You know, or
good
whatever.
Point. Yeah.
It's all very serious theater type stuff.
Yeah. And it does feel very Africa inspired, like it should.
Right.
When you see the good productions of it.
And I think the same goes for Mary Poppins that we've seen a couple times. You have to take it seriously.
because so good.
Because the story is so ludicrous that if you don't take it seriously, it falls apart.
We haven't done an episode on that, have we? I can't wait to talk about it.
We haven't done an official... about it numerous times, I think.
Well, we're doing a whole subject about
We're taking y'all to see Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh, so good.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. I think that's the key to a good Disney transfer to the stage, is the ability of the production to take it seriously, and while being inspired by the original look and tone...
Mm-hmm.
Transforming it into something that a theater goer doesn't mind sitting through.
Right.
Because you're not in a theme park. At the theme park, it's very forgivable to sit and watch the mascot style characters perform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you pay $100 a seat,
you're looking for an elevated experience of it.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to sit and watch mascots run around. They scare me.
They scare you.
They do. They're scary.
I agree.
So, if you were going to suggest another Disney movie to be turned into a musical, is there one that you think would translate well?
I don't know. Have they done Tarzan?
They have done Tarzan.
Oh, well, there goes that one.
Yeah. We'll get to talk to that one about some
101 later. Dalmatians with actual dogs.
Oh, my gosh. Are you trying to kill us all?
Yeah, yeah, it would be fun.
It'd be terrible.
Take you that.
They originally did a version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves as a stage production, and it wasn't great. But I think with modern technology,
it could be better.
They could make it really cool, I think.
Yeah.
Because the Evil Queen is so over the top and ridiculous.
Right.
She could be a really interesting character, as long as they don't... give her a tragic backstory that makes you sympathize with her. I hate it when they do that.
Completely right. Yep.
She's just an evil queen.
Right. She's such an evil queen.
She's so vain.
I guess Nightmare Before Christmas would be fun to do for like...
Ooh, I've always wanted to do a nightmare version. Like a stage version.
It'd be fun if they only rolled it out for like, you know, September, October, November, December.
Yeah.
So like 4 months a year, they roll it out just like they do at the Haunted Mansion, basically.
Ooh, that would be fun.
And then they take it off Broadway and bring it back 4 months later.
Jack Skellington is one of those characters I could physically play very well.
Oh, you totally could. Yeah. Especially if it was you on stilts or something.
Oh my god.
Like short stilts. Not a full stilt.
Danny Elfman, give me a call. I've got a pitch for you. I'll just lip sync to his songs at this point.
Clearly Danny's offstage doing all of the voices and stuff.
Yeah.
He's a close friend of the family now, so hey.
Yeah, there you go. But if you haven't seen any of these shows yet, most of the times you can find at least clips of them online, and they're always fun to watch. Live theater is always entertaining. And let me know if you've seen the Aladdin on Broadway, and tell me if they kept all the changes from the out of town, because I have no idea.
Yeah, if they're spitting camels, we're in.
Yeah, I would love to see a spitting camel in that
Broadway
show. But it's like I always say, please turn off all cell phones and other noise-making devices before the show begins.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.